the Wednesday edition of Locked On Oilers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260 and the Two Guys and a Goalie podcast. There's lots to get to today, and joining me will be NHL reporter Brendan Clack. Of course, you can find him on Twitter at NHL Update, as he's very active on the good old Twitter machine, breaking all NHL news. You might have heard him in the past on TSN 1260 there as a producer. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On and you'll get $10 off your next order. Today we'll discuss TSN's Frank Saravalli's trade bait list, as there were some fascinating names on there, and we'll see what realistic, and I mean realistic, targets are there for your Edmonton Oilers. Of course, we have the NHL playoffs still ongoing, and the Florida Panthers have a new general manager, as they've hired Bill Zito, who has been in management with the Columbus Blue Jackets since 2013. Elliot Friedman broke the story on Tuesday, and it was made official today. Will Zito be the man to get that franchise turned in the right direction, as one playoff appearance in the last 4 years just ain't good enough when you have players like Barkov, Huberto, and Ekblad? And I mean, they got a lot of UFAs coming up this season, and that big contract they gave to Goldie Bob, I mean, obviously he had nothing to do with it, but we'll see what he can do to turn that franchise around and make him into a regular playoff contender. We'll get to all that with Brendan Clack, aka Clack Daddy, and I think we're gonna have a lot of fun with Frank's trade bait list. They're always fun to speculate to see what can happen there, and of course one Edmonton Oiler is on that list, and that's defenseman Adam Larson. You can hit me up on Twitter at Hernan the Man, at Locked On Oilers, and make sure to follow at Locked On Pods. And don't forget to download and subscribe on your favorite app for the latest episodes. I am now joined by Brendan Clack, NHL reporter. You can find him at NHL Update on Twitter. And of course, you've probably heard of him on TSN 1260, as he is a producer as well. Brendan, I haven't seen you probably since, I'd say, early March. How you been, my friend?
Yeah, it's been a while. I mean, the last time I saw you, we were talking about like the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo not quite being able to seal the deal. So it's been quite a while.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in such a, you know, hectic year and chaotic and crazy and weird with the pandemic and everything that's going on in 2020 and a weird hockey season and all, we should be getting ready for training camp, Brendan, not, you know, the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
It's really weird. It's quite a strange season. I don't think the playoffs have been necessarily that much worse. I think there's still been a lot of excitement.
Yeah. No, it's been absolutely great. It's unfortunate the Oilers were out so quick, but we're going to have some fun on today's pod, Brendan, as you know, Frank Saravalli's trade bait list is always fun because we can speculate. There's one Edmonton Oiler, but we'll get to that in a bit. First, let's kick it off with some news from the NHL's. Bill Zito is named the Florida Panthers' new general manager. I mean, he's been with Columbus, I think, since 2013. There's some conflicting reports out there. Some say 2013, 2015, but I'll go with 2013, Brendan. And, you know, Columbus has been a good team. They've gone to the playoffs, what is it now, four straight years. They've drafted well. They found some nice players. And there was that one year when they lost Panarin and they lost all so many key players, but they just kept trucking along here. So just your thoughts on Bill Zito, you know, who's going into a spot where they got some decent contracts. They got a really overpayment for their goaltender there, and obviously Sergei Bobrovsky and all that, and they got a ton of UFAs there as well. But what do you think of Bill Zito and the Florida Panthers?
Well, I think Bill Zito is a really nice fit for Florida. He's a guy that's been interviewing for many teams over the last couple seasons, and it seemed like he was always in the final three, final four. We kept hearing Bill Zito to Philly or Bill Zito to LA or wherever. And then all of a sudden he kind of pops up in this Florida mix. And we had heard a lot of names. Like, we had heard guys like Peter Chiarelli and Kevin Weeks and Eddie Olczyk. So to hear that Bill Zito got the job, I mean, he's a very experienced guy. You look at Columbus and you look at how well that they've been able to draft, as you said, the goaltending this year, Korpisalo, Elvis Merzlikins, those two guys came out of nowhere, but I'm sure Bill Zito knew who they were quite well. The agent background that Zito brings as well is going to really help the contract situations in Florida. They're going to be on a budget, and his experience as an agent is going to be very helpful in those negotiations. And I also like that, like, he gave Tuukka Rask a really big contract when he was an agent in 2013. So right before he joined Columbus, he helped Rask get that large $8 million a year deal. And he's got Bobrovsky now as his goalie. and he had him in Columbus. So I do think that if there's a guy that, can talk to Bobrovsky and make him feel really comfortable despite the season he had, Bill Zito is a really nice fit for that.
Yeah, that's a great point that he was there with Bobrovsky in Columbus. I just think that $10 million for what is it now, the next 2, 4, 6 seasons is a lot. And this is a team that has some nice pieces. I mean, Barkov, Huberto. This team needs to start taking a step, towards being a playoff team on the regular. Do you believe in what Bill Zito can do here? Because he does have Mike Hoffman, Dadonov, Hala's UFAs, an Edmonton favorite in Mark Pizik as well. But he's really got a lot of work to do there, doesn't he, Brandon?
He does have a lot of work. I think Florida's biggest issue seemed to be depth and fit, like mixed to me. I look at the Florida mix and there was a lot of randomness after that top line. And when you're losing Hoffman and Dadonov, those two scorers, you're losing even more scoring depth on top of that weird mix you had. Eric Halla as well. I think when you look at the C market as UFAs, there aren't a lot. So Halla's going to be quite a valuable guy as well this off season. And their defense was a big mess too. So I believe they have a great coach. Quenneville is an awesome coach, winning coach, Stanley Cup guy. But Bill Zito's going to have to do what Columbus did and build out their blue line a little bit. They have a nice piece with Ekblad back there. They have a struggling Mike Matheson. They have to figure out what to do with him. He's locked up for a while. I really like Mackenzie Weegar, but, I mean, you look at Columbus, they ended up with Jones, Werenski, Ryan Murray, and some even steady depth guys like, Dean Kukin and Marcus Nuttavaara and David Savard, also great shot blocker. So I think he's got experience in bringing depth in, which is very nice for Florida. And also, what's going to be very interesting, he's an analytic guy. He believes in analytics, and Florida, there was that big battle between the analytics and Dale Tallon not really believing so, and they bring in a guy who fits more in line with some of the other guys in Florida's management team. So maybe they'll be more in sync.
No, definitely. And I think at the end of the day, they just want this team to get better. Joined by Brendan Clack. You can find him on Twitter at NHL Update. I want to talk about one guy that's a UFA on the Florida Panthers, Eric Haulon, working at the station this summer. Brendan, his name's being talked about a lot as a connection to the Edmonton Oilers. Would he fit? Coming off a deal that was worth $2.75. He's 29 years old. Do you see a fit there for the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah, I think Eric Haulon is a fit. But as you say, cap becomes a consideration. And if you look at the depth in the market, the UFA centers, I mean, they're quite poor in terms of the market and how many guys are available that can really help out a team past your fourth line. And Eric Hall is one of them. I thought he played really well for Vegas in their run to the Stanley Cup final. He wasn't so great this season. Carolina had to scratch him a couple times. There was some bad blood between him and Rod Brind'Amour, and then they traded him in the Trocheck deal, where I thought he played decently for Florida in the little sample size we got. But the Oilers have to be careful because Eric Hall might end up getting a multi-term deal just because of the lack of centers on that market. And ideally, you'd want a shorter-term third-line center, perhaps, if you believe in Ryan McLeod and his development going forward. So really, they kind of want more of a stopgap guy in between. And if Hall ends up being a guy that's money, just the money just goes up and up and up, and there's a bit of a bidding war, then maybe the Oilers are wise to stay out of that and look for another guy along the lines of Riley Sheahan, but ideally a guy that's better at 5-on-5, or make a trade involving some of their players they have now.
I just mentioned his price this past season was 2.75. What do you see for a contract for Eric Haulon? Like, it can't be that much of a raise, can it?
Well, I kind of see 3.5 being in his range, and I've seen centers go for quite big amounts in the past. So, four sounds ridiculous, especially on a flat cap. You would think, well, that's not going to happen. But sometimes there's a few UFAs that, due to scarcity, definitely raise up in price. And I keep thinking of Nick Bonino and Tyler Bozak. Those are two guys that ended up getting quite a big pay raise each on the free agent market with Nashville and with St. Louis, respectively, just because they were the only centers. There just wasn't a lot going. So I think 3.5 is a fair price for him. I do wonder if it goes up.
Joined by Brendan Clack here, NHL reporter. Again, you can find him on Twitter at NHL Update. In just a few minutes, we'll dive into Frank Saravalli's trade bait list. The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 6 new flavors that include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and my personal favorite, carrot cake, along with their 12 original flavors. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy and gal. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. We're back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. I'm Hernan Salas, joined by Brendan Clack, NHL reporter. Brendan, this list is always fun. Frank Saravelli does a great job. And again, he's not just throwing names out there for the hell of it. Interesting names for sure on this list. I will get to the Winnipeg ones as well, because I think those ones are probably the most surprising for people. But let's start here in Edmonton. I mean, there's one guy on his list at number 15, defenseman Adam Larson. You know, he's one of he's a right shot defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers. He's got 1 year left. Since his first season, Brendan, I want to say, like, he just hasn't been the same player. He's been good at times, but he struggled more often than not. I thought in the qualifying round this season, the two games he did play, he struggled mightily with Oscar Klefbom. You can't just move Adam Larson and expect Evan Bouchard to jump in on the right side, because I think your defense just gets worse. And that's not a knock on Evan Bouchard. I'm just saying that you're not going to have that penalty killer that can play the tough defensive minutes. You need to replace him if you're going to move him with another veteran guy similar to what Adam Larson brings to the Edmonton Oilers. What do you see happening with Adam Larson? And I guess it's a two-part question. And what would a return look like for Adam Larson?
Well, as you say, it's a bit of a tough scenario, because the Edmonton Oilers probably would have trouble re-signing Adam Larson a little bit. You would think perhaps if he had a great season on his next deal before he's a UFA. But the question is, yeah, is he going to get to that level again? Because his back seems to be the main issue for me. It's that he's still the same tough defenseman that wants to be in the play and give you cross checks and bring you into the corner and block shots, but the problem is that his back is causing him speed issues. I don't think he's the same guy because of the injuries he's had. And if I'm another team, I'm likely going to be scouting about that and asking the Oilers, you know, how is his back? Is it something that's going to be a lingering issue? I mean, he didn't play against Chicago because of it for the second half of the series. So as far as return goes, I still think he's a valuable player for somebody. There's a lot of defenses around the league that don't have the element that Larson brings to the table. You look at Toronto, I mean, Tyson Barrie was just the wrong fit on the right side. Adam Larson would be a guy that they just don't have, aside from, I would say, Jake Muzzin, who is better than Larson by a decent amount. But, I mean, those guys just don't grow on trees necessarily in the NHL. So maybe there's a fit with Toronto. There's another guy in the trade bait list I'm looking at. I'm seeing that Andreas Janssen is sitting there.
Yes.
And you know, left winger, a little bit cheaper, so that helps the Oilers. Toronto has this new cap space that a lot of their writers have been talking about. And Janssen's a guy that's kind of a Swiss Army knife. He scores. He fits on different lines. He plays penalty kill. Seems like a decent fit for Connor McDavid. Maybe a winger that's like a utility second line, third line guy, or maybe your third line center would be a return for Larson. But then, yeah, how do you fill the right side after that? Ethan Bear can't do it all on his own. Matt Benning's qualifying offer, probably too much to keep him. They got to make another move then.
And that's where I'm at, where you've worked in radio. You see the texts that come in saying, well, just run with Bouchard and the young guys. And that doesn't work. Like, I mean, Adam Larson, as much as people want to be harsh on him and he hasn't, you know, he's never going to live up to that potential of the trade with Taylor Hall. I think we're all clear on that. But again, Bouchard coming in for Adam Larson, I think the Edmonton Oilers defense just gets a little bit worse, because Larson is a older guy. He plays well in the PK and he's a tough, rugged defenseman. So I don't think it's as easy as just moving him out and bringing Bouchard in. Brennan, when you look at this list, is there any other names that intrigue you? I'll give you some of mine. I've talked a lot on this podcast about Matt Murray, Tristan Jarry for goaltenders. I think we've talked enough about that. We don't know who's going to come out of there. I think if I'm the Penguins, I'm keeping Tristan Jarry. But I look at a guy like Josh Anderson, RFA, just coming off 1.85. I like Vince Dunn at 23, and you know, he's going to get a significant raise from his 723, but he's a left shot, right? He plays plays the left side, and the Oilers have, you know, they're a little full on that side as well. But I know you brought up Andreas Johnsson as well, but any other names intrigue you here that are realistic targets for the Edmonton Oilers, Brendan?
Yeah, I guess that for me, the number one might be Jared McCann, who, not like I'm the biggest fan of the guy, but he's got a lot of speed. And if Pittsburgh really wants to shake up their roster, I mean, Jared McCann's a guy that can fit in on the third line. And I think he's got more offensive pop than some of the other guys Oilers could go for. So it depends on what the price is for him. But Jared McCann was a really interesting name, and it kind of sounds like Pittsburgh's soured on him. So the price might not actually be too bad. It's not going to be one of those things where you're overpaying for a guy, which Pittsburgh actually just did on Kasperi Kapanen. So a little bit there. So Jared McCann might be an interesting fit. I think Alex Killorn's an excellent fit, but it has to work cap-wise. But he's a very smart player, and he's gritty, goes in the corner, battles for pucks, tips, deflections. Yeah. Very smart guy, and would be like a faster version of when Patrick Maroon was on McDavid's line. And that's pretty much what you want. I mean, you want that kind of guy that can create cycles for McDavid rather than just one rush and out. So Killorn's a great option that's realistic as well. Just depends on the cap. And then, yeah, there's a lot of just kind of bigger names here. Like, will they actually move? I mean, Chris Letang is awesome, but is Pittsburgh actually going to move that guy?
Yeah.
Or in Winnipeg's case, like Laine and Ehlers. Those are some heavy-duty wingers to be moving on. You'd think the Jets would be looking for Nurse in that case, and is that realistic? I don't know.
And that's the thing. I mean, when I saw Letang on there, and then the ones that I think surprised most was the Winnipeg duo, right? Like Nikolai Ehlers was fantastic, I thought, in the Calgary series. He showed something I hadn't seen from him before, was he played with a little bit of jam. You know, he was feisty, and to go along with his speed and skill. And Patrick Laine, who got hurt in the first game, we didn't see him after that as well. I have to ask you, do you see any of these guys that were mentioned from Winnipeg getting moved?
Well, I mean, there'd be a way for one of them to get moved, and that's if the Jets get that top four D-man that they think is going to eat up 22, 23 minutes a game, because their defense is the biggest Achilles heel on that team, and it's pretty bad. I mean, it's not just bad, it's pretty bad. I mean, after Josh Morrissey, you're relying on a lot of guys that you'd probably want on your bottom pair more so. I mean, Tucker Poolman, Dmitry Kulikov. They have a lot of hope for Billy Hanala eventually here, but yeah. If you can get a guy that's like a bona fide, that guy is going to be playing minutes for us for a long time guy, then I might get it. But some of the guys on the list here are very buyer beware. Like Oliver Ekman-Larsson's cap hit is massive. Rasmus Ristolainen has struggled for years on the defensive side of the game. And I mean, maybe they believe in Darnell Nurse a lot, but that's a tough trade for the Oilers to make. They have to decide if Caleb Jones will be ready to step up. I mean, it's just one of those trades where it's so big to make that there's a lot of balls on the GM that has to make that kind of move. We've seen it, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I'll say this little hot take. I think I'd rather have Ehlers than Laine.
I'm with you. I think if any team went out and got any of these players, you'd be extremely happy. But for me too, I like Nikolai Ehlers. I think there's just something about that player. And like I mentioned, like I saw something in the playoffs that I really liked and it intrigued me. Again, Patrick Laine, you know, he goes to any team, you're going to be happy because this guy, all he does is score goals. And another good point I think is Blake Wheeler's getting older, right? Because that top six is legit. Like when they're all healthy and they're all playing together, they're really good. But you really want to move on for one of these young guys when Blake Wheeler maybe has one or two good years left, right? Coming up next, we'll get into the NHL playoffs. Demko, Flyers stay alive along with the Canucks. And tonight we have the Colorado Avalanche looking to tie the series at 3. We'll see if Hutchinson gets the start once again for the Avalanche. More with Brendan Clack in just a few minutes. We're back here with Brendan Clack, NHL reporter. And of course, you've heard him on TSN 1260. Brendan, my friend, this has been excellent. We got to get into the NHL playoffs. So last night we saw Demko come in and absolutely steal the show as they get back in that series with a 2-1 win over the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas still up 3-2. But what did you make of the young man's performance? I mean, he's the first rookie goalie to win his first playoff start in an elimination game since 1997 when Jose Theodore did it. Just your thoughts on Demko's performance.
Well, if you ask Canucks fans over the season, Demko was a guy that either let in a lot of goals early or was a guy that was absolutely dominant. And there was a lot of inconsistency there. And it's not surprising because he's a very, very young goalie. But when Demko was drafted, he was a guy that was touted as being a blue chip goalie prospect, a guy that's going to transform a team. And there was a lot of Canucks fans coming into the year going, is Markstrom being out going to be okay with us because we've got Demko and DiPietro as goalies coming up? And what I saw from Demko was a guy that was super calm, looked super mature in that game. Other than a few rebound control issues, I mean, he made a lot of poised saves and had great positioning throughout the game. And Vancouver's D helped him a little bit, but there was moments where it was just Vegas cycling it for 5 minutes on end, and Demko had to make save after save. It was incredibly impressive to me. It makes that whole team very confident no matter who's in net for the rest of the series. And it must be making Benning confident that if Markstrom does move on, they've got this guy in the wings, and he's probably a year away from being quite good himself on a consistent basis.
It's a good problem to have. I mean, I can't see Vancouver letting Markstrom walk away. He's been absolutely outstanding for them. He was really good in the season. But yeah, Demko, good on him. Look for him probably get to start in the next game. We'll see what Markstrom's status is in terms of the injury he suffered in game 4. Looking ahead to tonight's tilt, Colorado Avalanche, Dallas Stars. Will Colorado tie this up? I mean, they came out in their last game absolutely flying. I mean, it was 5-0 before you can sit down with your beer. But I've been impressed with Dallas. I mean, I had him as a pretender, Brandon. Goes to show you how much I know before this all got started again. But they've been impressive. That top line's really humming along nicely for them. And then Gurianov, Rupe Hintz, some nice young players that are stepping up big time for them. But Colorado, you can't count them out. They're such a talented team. But goaltending's really hampered them in this series.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't blame you, Hernan, at all, because Dallas is completely bizarro version of what they were in the regular season.
Yeah, exactly.
All they do is score, apparently, and the goaltending hasn't really been as good as you'd think. I mean, there's been moments. Anton Khudobin's had some great saves, but I don't think anybody expected a 5-goal barrage when Ben Bishop entered the game, as we thought, well, if he's playing, he must be healthy enough. And he said he was healthy, but Dallas just collapsed as a team in front of him. It wasn't all his fault. And this is just a really funky series. I mean, Colorado's scored enough to win in 5, but they're letting up just as many goals and then more. And part of that was because when they lost Grubauer in game 1, I think I had more hope in Pavel Francouz to be a really good goalie for them, but he wasn't really delivering for me. Their defense was spotty at best. It's a series that's just very exciting to watch because both coaches are pulling hair out of their head the entire time. But because of that, I think Colorado's got a great chance tonight because, yeah, all it takes is Nathan MacKinnon to have 4 points and they're back in the series. Yeah. And the thing is that that's very possible, not just from him, but they have so much other offensive talents. And I'll give Burakovsky a lot of credit because Andrei Burakovsky, mm-hmm. his stats in elimination games are just like zonkers right now. Like he's got like 7 goals in 8 or 8 goals in 7 games or something like that in his last 7 elimination games. Like he is a clutch player, and when you have a guy in your second line doing that and what Kadri's been able to do as well, I mean it's how long can Dallas keep scoring? That's the biggest question.
I love watching Colorado, especially that MacKinnon line with Rantanen in there, and Cale Makar is such an exceptional young man. I mean, you know, on and off the ice just seems like an absolute beauty. But, you know, in Dallas, on the flip side also, I love watching Miro Heiskanen. This kid's going to be an absolute stud. He already is, but we'll see. And I highly doubt we'll see Ben Bishop, probably see Hutchinson in there for Colorado. And I just want to see a game 7, Brendan. So let's hope that Colorado can tie this up. We still got a couple other series to go as well, as Vancouver needs to tie up their series, as well as the Philadelphia Flyers, who got a big overtime win last night as well over the Islanders. Brendan, this has been fun. Always great talking hockey with you. I know you're a big Oiler guy. You're a big analytics guy as well, so you're well in tune when it comes to the NHL and all its players and all its stats. But thank you for joining me, buddy.
Yeah, it's been super fun. First ever Locked On Oilers appearance for me, and I'm very glad you invited me on. And you know where I'm going to be? I'm going to be on my couch watching the rest of the playoffs.
Sounds good, buddy. I know we'll probably see you at the station here in the near future, and we're all hoping that we're all back together soon enough. Thanks again, buddy.
Thank you.
That was Brendan Clack joining me on the Locked On Oilers podcast. You can find him at NHL Update on Twitter. And like I mentioned earlier, he's always has all the breaking news and is very active. So make sure to give him a follow. Looking ahead to Thursday, unless we get some breaking news from Los Petroleros on Thursday, we're going to take a look back at the past 14th overall picks in the National Hockey League as the Edmonton Oilers will be selecting in that spot in this year's draft. Of course, there's always the possibility the Oilers might move that pick, but we'll plan for pick number 14 hits and misses from the last 20 years. And will the Oilers hit or miss with their picks? So make sure to tune in on Thursday. We'll have some fun with it. You can find me on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers, and give us a follow at Locked On Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and download on your favorite apps, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, whatever you use. Please give us a download and subscribe for all the latest episodes. And check out Locked On Jets with Harrison Lee, as I'm sure they had lots to talk about on their podcast as Patrick Laine and Nikolai Ehlers ended up on Frank Saravalli's trade bait list. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to get traded, but it leads to speculation and a lot of good conversation. So make sure to check out Locked On Jets with Harrison Lee. Producer Juan is telling me to wrap it up. So this wraps up the Wednesday edition of Locked On Oilers. Remember to download and press play. I'm Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Have a good one. Chat with you tomorrow.